Good morning. I would like to bid you a hearty welcome this morning. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and I suppose if you had looked at the list, you would have seen Lorne Elias was supposed to be here. He called me a week or 10 days ago and asked me to take his place, so that's why I'm here this morning. So again, a hearty welcome to you, and I know we have guests here, so a hearty welcome to you as well. May God be with us all this morning and bless each and every one of us. To start this morning, I want to greet you with the words we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Amen. I chose that opening this morning for a particular reason. I've titled this morning's service, "The Suffering Soul." And I want to point out maybe three basic types of suffering we go through as individuals and how we can deal with them. So before we get started this morning, let's unite our hearts with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, firstly, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity once again to gather in your house of prayer. We thank you again for the gift of salvation that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again, and has gone to prepare a place for those that love him. Father, as we look into the world and we see the many things that are going on, we know that we are in difficult times, and we all go through different trials and struggles. You are a God of grace, mercy, and love, and we are so grateful and thankful. You have provided us a way through these challenges in our lives. And again, we thank you and we praise you. So as we look into your word this morning, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your leading, to your guiding, and the songs that we are going to sing this morning, that we would encourage, be an encouragement to us, and that we would give you all the honor, glory, and praise this morning. And Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, we ask that you would bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. We are also asking, Lord, that you would place a hedge of protection around this sanctuary, that Satan and his forces would have no part, but that you and you alone would be honored and glorified. We pray all these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, we'll have a couple of songs, please.
Take the red hymn book, turn to page 51, Blessed Assurance. 51.
Foretaste of glory divine, herald. 53, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Number 53, could you stand?
Well, I want to thank you for that singing, that playing. It's always it's such a joy to sing praises to the Lord and get us motivated for the service. So as I mentioned, I titled this message, The Suffering Soul. If you have your Bibles along this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to Job chapter 1. And if you've ever gone through the book of Job, you understand the difficulties that Job had. So I'm going to go through some of those, and just to get us kind of in the mindset of, we look at our society today and we look at the challenges maybe you have or I have, and very often it's when we go through a challenge or a difficulty, we begin to search things out and we sometimes maybe go about it in the wrong sense. So I want to try to address that a little bit this morning. So beginning at verse 13 in the first chapter of Job. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, And the Sabeans fell upon them, and they took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The Chaldeans came out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. So what I'm trying to do here a little bit with what Job went through is we look at the day Job is having and we often will say, you know, I've had a bad day. And when we look at what Job just went through, he essentially lost worldly possessions, he lost family members, all in one day. That's a pretty hard day. But you take note of what he did. He worshiped. He worshiped God. And now I want to go just to verse 21. And look what he said. And he says, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So as we read further, we would find out that Job never curses God for doing this event. But there is a second assault. So when we're going to be looking at these, there's three basic types of suffering, and we're going to kind of characterize them in, there's physical suffering, mental suffering, and spiritual suffering. So this, I would say, is probably would lean towards the mental or the emotional side of things. And in Job chapter 2, Satan, in verse 7, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores, with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, Job is covered in sores and boils. So that's a physical assault. Then we go, and I'm just going to paraphrase this a little bit here so we can get through this morning. Then you have the arrival of Job's three friends who come to, I would suppose, after they've heard what Job is going through, they were going to comfort him. But they sit with him, and they don't even say a word to him. So there's no comfort given. They just sit with him for, I think it's 7 days and nights, and they don't say a thing. Now, very often when we're going through a trial in our lives, we would rather have a scenario where we're comforted, would we not? We count on our friends to be there for us. So now let's get into the kind of the meat of the message here. So let's turn to chapter 3 now. And I want to pick and choose a few verses. So I'm going to read the first three verses. So after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived. So now Job is going, he's starting to go through the emotional effects of all this that's going on in his life. So how does that look in our life today? How do we deal with the emotional things, the physical things, and the spiritual things that are going on in our lives? How do we overcome this? So generally speaking, I would say in society we begin to, well, maybe feel sorry for ourselves. And we go through different scenarios in our lives. There are certain things that, you know, they're very hard to go through. And I'm sure all of us can relate to that. What do we do about it? How do we overcome? Well, we Firstly, we need to lean on God. Then we trust the people that are closest to us, and we begin to share and go through this journey that we're going through. But we can never give up on God, and in today's world, it seems to be so common that so many people are just trying to get through life, and they have left God on the back burner, somewhere in the back, and they don't have him as part of their life. Now, I believe it was my mom that told me this story, and maybe I've said it here before, but it goes back many years. Mom told me this, and it goes something like this, and the point I want to try to make here is we should never exclude God in anything that we're doing. So there was a scenario where this child of this mother was going to go to somewhere with her friends, and they were supposed to deliver some eggs. So the mom gave the daughter these eggs and said, "God go with you." And the response from somebody in that vehicle was, "There's no room for God in the front." So they put the eggs in the vehicle, in the trunk of the vehicle, and they went off, and there was an accident. And I think there was three people involved in that accident. All three people died. And so it was a pretty rough accident. Yet when they opened the trunk, they found these eggs sitting there. Not one of them was cracked. And it's interesting that these three people had kind of said, "God doesn't have room in the vehicle, we'll put him in the trunk." So what do we do in our lives when we're going through these difficult scenarios? And we know that we're going to have them. But what do we do when they're introduced to us? Can you imagine how Job's day may have started? Probably like any ordinary day. And then all of a sudden, all these events, these four, we would call them catastrophic events, happen. They occur. And he loses sons and daughters. He loses servants. He loses his wealth. And all these things come upon him so swiftly. And when Job begins to open up here, he curses the day, basically, that he was conceived. Now he's wallowing in maybe what we would call a bit of self-pity, which is something that many of us will do. In verse 11 of this chapter 3, he says, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly?" So he laments being born because of what he's going through. So he's really, really struggling with this. So when we go to fast forward a little bit here in Job chapter 7. So here Job questions God for these continuing trials. So beginning at verse 4, "When I lie down, I say, when shall I rise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day." It sounds like a very restless sleep. "My flesh is closed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle and are spent out of hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good." So here he's lamenting through all these trials that he is going. And it's a very difficult time that he's going through in his life. And if I were to ask you how many of you have gone through a difficult time in your life, we would probably raise our hands or at least acknowledge that we've gone through some very hard times. You know what? We're going to continue to go through challenges. But what do we do with those challenges is the question of the day. How do we become overcomers? How do we overcome these things that are happening? First of all, we have to remember when we're going through these difficulties, and I'll share a little bit of my life. So there was a situation where I was going through a pretty hard time. The one thing I see now that I didn't see when I was going through it, I didn't recognize it. I didn't recognize what was happening. So in order to understand what we're going through, we need to recognize what's happening around us. So in other words, we need to pay attention of what's going on. And here I'm talking about what's going on in the world. We need to understand some of the things that are happening right in front of our very eyes in order to combat what is going on. We have to be prepared. We know that Scripture warns us that there's going to come a time when the truth becomes a lie and the lie becomes a truth. So are we in that time today? If we are, why don't we acknowledge that? We need to understand that's where we are. We better understand how do we handle this? Because we are going to get accused. The people that stand up, and I'm talking about the Christian community overall, we need to stand up for truth. And that's where we are now. And what does that look like in the world today? It's become clouded and fuzzy, and many people don't understand where we're at in the world. So we need to understand. So we know what Job went through. I would encourage you to read this. It's quite amazing what he has to all go through. But he goes through all these things. Yeah, he goes through the same emotions you and I go through. It was tough. But he would not curse God. And today, what do we do when we're going through these tough times? Are we standing up and are we willing to let our light shine during these times of, let's call them, oppression? So in Job chapter 10, I want to read the first 6 verses. And I wonder how many of you have ever felt this way. Let's just look at the first line. My soul is weary of my life. In other words, I'm so tired. I don't know what to do. And I'm wondering, how many of us have been there? And then we go on and we read this. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Shew me wherefore thou contendest me with me. It is good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked. Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of a man, or the years of a man's day? That thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin. Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. So when we look at this, as Job questions what he's going through, all these things that are upon him, the one thing he says in verse 7, there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. And what I believe he's saying there is, as long as I'm going to stick with God, there's no one that's going to pluck Job himself out of God's hand. And in the New Testament, actually, Christ says that. that no one can pluck anyone from Christ's hand. So as we go through these difficulties and these trials in our lives, the choice, the decisions are up to us how we deal with them. And if you're going through one of those phases in your life right now, or you're, and that's part of your journey right now, my encouragement this morning is very, very clear. Is firstly, we lean on God. We have to lean on and trust God. And we all know that our days are numbered. We know that. We all know that at some point, either we are going to die or the rapture will happen. Christ will take his church. Those days are coming. None of us know when that time will be. We do not know if we're going to make it out of this church. We don't know if we're going to live for another day, week, month, year. We have no idea. That is not up to us. That's up to the Lord. Your days are numbered. So in that window of when you're going through these challenges, what does that do to you? Does it draw you closer to God? Or does it push you away? That decision is up to you. I hope and trust that it's going to draw you closer. So before we move on, I want to ask one question. In the journey that you've had thus far in your life, and you've had to make a decision, and you make this decision, and you follow through with it, or it's a challenge in your life, and maybe in a week, a month, a year, or maybe even longer, all of a sudden you go back and you replay that event or that situation back into your life. You replay that, and then you see what God has all done. Has that ever happened to anybody? You go, you're in this situation, and you go, why? And I think that's what Job is saying. Why? But ultimately, he sees the hand of God. And that's there for us. I don't understand why we go through certain things. I don't understand why I have to go through certain things in my life until maybe later on. And all of a sudden, I see the bigger picture. Now, I'm just like you. What do I do with this, the moment that I'm in those situations? How do I deal with it? My hope is that we all deal with it the same way. And that's getting down on our hands and knees and praying to God and helping, asking for help and trusting him. So we need to trust God. And sometimes, and we know that in Scripture, that sometimes we pray for something to get removed and it doesn't happen. We have to pray for the will of God. So before we go over to the second portion of the service this morning, there are three prayer requests that were handed to me this morning. I will read them as they were handed to me. So the first one is, please pray for Edward and Elma Klippenstein. Elma is in Boundary Trails Health Center. They cannot operate on the tumor in her head, which is causing immobility and making it very difficult for her to think and to remember things. Pray for Edward and the family as they navigate through this difficult time. Second announcement is, please pray for Abe and Betty Gertson. Abe had a massive heart attack Tuesday. He had open heart surgery on Friday and is not doing well. Pray for his recovery, Lord willing, and for peace for Betty and the family as they are there with him. And I just want to give you that note in this letter, it says, Lord willing, the will of God. And that applies to all these prayers. So also for Abe and Hilda Drieger, Abe is in Boundary Trails Hospital and dealing with lung cancer. So the family is asking for your prayer support there as well. So I want to encourage you to pray for them this morning. And so with that, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Let us take the blue book and turn to 226. Oh, how I love Jesus. 226. For those that are able, let's stand.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again for that singing and playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. And what an appropriate song. So as I mentioned, we're going to talk about three basic types of suffering. And there's, like I mentioned earlier, there's physical suffering, mental suffering, and spiritual suffering. And so as we go through this, we're going to be spending most of our time here in the New Testament. So I've just chosen a couple of verses for each of these types of suffering. So for physical, let's turn to the book of John. And in John chapter 9, so John chapter 9, just the first verse, it talks about a situation. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So we would relate that to being someone that has a physical type of suffering. So this man has been blind ever since he was born. And I can't even begin to imagine what that would be like. And yet, we know if you read further, they question Jesus on, well, who sinned? Why is this man blind? And Jesus says, ultimately, it was for God's glory, and Jesus restores this man's sight. So when we see these things, something like this happen, like I said earlier, we don't always see the big picture. We don't always understand why this is happening. And so we find out that these things are happening, and it's happened throughout history that people are miraculously healed by God, and we wonder why they have to go through it. But there's some purpose, and there's a reason for it. And it's not always for us to know why. So let's turn to the book of Luke. So in Luke chapter 13, I want to touch a little bit on what Jesus kind of went through. So let's look at starting at verse 31. It says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that a fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. And then look what he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, that ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So Christ is actually mourning over Jerusalem. So when you look at this, what's going on in Jerusalem, and he says in verse 34, you're killing the prophets. Why would they do that? They did not want to hear the truth of God's word. So when we look at something like that, we may say that would be more of a spiritual suffering that Jesus went through, and we will look at more of what Jesus went through. You know, the main point I'm trying to make this morning is, again, we know we're going to go through trials. And we know that Jesus went through these things. We know that the disciples went through these things. We know that our forefathers have gone through these things. But as a Christian community, what is our bond? What is holding us together? What's the common denominator? And it always points back to Jesus Christ. So that points back to what is your relationship with him and what is my relationship with Jesus. When we look at all the things that we deal with, we sometimes forget, don't we? So, how many of you have ever had a sliver, a piece of wood or something stuck in your hand somewhere? And so once you have this sliver, what does it feel like? It is uncomfortable, is it not? And what do you concentrate on? You've got to remove this sliver. You've got to get rid of it. And how do you get it out? It depends how deeply this thing is embedded, right? So how many of you have ever taken a needle and you had to get in there? It's a little painful, isn't it? And you're working at this and you're digging this out. And then you get this sliver out. And what do you feel after that? You feel relief, right? So now your hand or whatever, wherever you got the sliver, it can start to mend. But if you would leave that sliver there and you wouldn't deal with it, how long would it bother you? In other words, what I'm trying to get at is, how long would it distract you? You see where I'm going with this? So in the world today, we have all these things that are going on. We can have physical challenges. We can have mental challenges. We can have spiritual challenges. And if we are so focused on that hot point, we tend to forget what Jesus and God are trying to do in our life. Because we're so consumed with the hot point. And then we sometimes miss out on the amazing things that God is doing. And there's a lot of them happening. How many of you, when you would look into either social media or on the computer or listen to the radio or see it on a television about the things that are going on in the world, what's happening? You look at that, and I'm not a big news guy, but I do capture a few little things. And what's portrayed? Most of the news is very hard to listen to and understand, and because it's painful. And last night I was reading an article of an incident that happened in the Morris area, where a man he murdered a woman, and then he took his own life. Of course, that's on the front page of the news. And yes, it's a tragedy. But there's so many amazing things that God is doing that the media is not grabbing hold of. And they're not expressing how God is doing these things way beyond our understanding. I don't see a lot of good coming out of that scenario that I just explained to you. But maybe that's going to draw somebody to Christ. I don't know. And that would be my hope, that someone would come to know Jesus Christ. So through these difficult situations. So when we look at spiritual suffering, or the difficulty we have within our own soul. You know, that's a relationship issue with God and Christ. That's one of the most essential things that we need to have, is that personal relationship with Jesus. You know, we try to nurture people and encourage people to grow in their faith. You know, this is the second service this morning. Brother Art was speaking this morning in the first service, and here I am in the second service. And we're looking into God's Word. So some of you have been here for 2 hours. Some of you will have been here for an hour. That is not enough spiritual food. You need to take in more. And that's on you. So what are you doing with your time and your energy? Are you concentrating on the thing that's causing you some discomfort? Or are you looking to the source that is going to deliver you? And that's Jesus Christ. So it's a very relationship commitment. And we flip back to Job, and we see he never cursed God, going through all those same types of things that you and I are going through today. So it's very relative to us. But what is your relationship with God like? What does it really, really look like? And you alone can answer that question. We are challenged with, you know, mental challenges and you know, so I just wanted to look at one thing, what Paul was talking about to the church in Corinth. So in 2 Corinthians, let's just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I talked to you earlier about how we need to recognize the situation we're in. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just want to read two verses to you. That's verse 8 and 9. So here he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." So he knows that there, like, Paul is having trouble, "which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure," in other words, burdened above strength, "insomuch that we despaired even of life." Does that sound like Job? Man, they were going through some really hard times here. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves." So how many times do we do that? So who do we trust in? "But in God who raiseth the dead." That's who we need to trust. As I mentioned earlier, we have to put our full trust in God. So in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." So Paul is writing this letter to them, and he is, call it emotionally or mentally, attached to them because of his love for them. So he goes on, I mean, he writes two letters to the church of Corinth, and he is expressing how much, or what he's going through because he loves that church. When we look at Christ's love for the church, remember what he did. He gave himself for it. And I wonder if maybe you and I can pick up the pace just a little bit. Maybe we can do a little more for God and a little less complaining about the situation that we are in. Because how many times when we're going through something do we whine and complain about it? Anybody ever do that? Other than me? I hope I get this right. There's this old saying, when you're dealt lemons or something like that, you make lemonade. In other words, you make the best out of your situation. And how many of you are dealt something difficult in your life and we just look at all the bad stuff that's happening. We don't look at what the good stuff that could come out of it. We forget that. At least, I mean, I can't speak for all of you. I can only speak for myself. So finally, when we look at the spiritual aspect of stuff, I want to turn to 1 John chapter 2. So in 1 John chapter 2, let's turn to verse 15 to 17. There it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How many of us are so busy chasing around after things of the world? Okay? We're warned about that. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We cannot get caught up in these things. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. So those things are all going to be put to the wayside at some point. But here's our word of encouragement. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now think of this. So if we would remove the last sentence of that passage of John, or 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, if we would remove that entirely from the scripture, and I'm not telling you to do that. Please don't ever do stuff like that. But if you would never read that passage of scripture, we might focus on what the love of the world is and not the reward if we do the will of God. Because we would be focusing on something that we're not supposed to be focusing on. So what are we supposed to focus on? It's a short little sentence. Doing the will of God. That summarizes it. That's what we're supposed to be after. So what does that look like for you? What's God's will for you? What's God's plan in your life? I can't tell you that. But I can encourage you to just let God go in your life. Because he's the one that's going to make the biggest change in your life. How many of you understand what I'm saying? How many of you already have experienced that in your life? From maybe when you were first baptized, you realized the sinful person you were. And then you came to know Jesus Christ and the changes you went through. And how many changes did you go through? And how many of us are still going through some of those? I believe we're all still growing. We're all still growing. But let God in your life. Make sure that you keep pace with God. Keep pace with God. Don't fall behind. Because what happens to people, generally speaking, when we fall behind? How many of you have ever run a race? and you see there's three, four, five other people in front of you, and you know you can't catch them, what do? You probably are going to slow down and say, well, I can't win anyway. You give up. We can't do that. We have to be out there. We can't give up. I want to conclude this morning with 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, we are given a very strong reminder beginning at verse 12. So 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. So in other words, severe testing. What it's going to do is it's going to prove who you are. As though some strange thing happened unto you. So this is not abnormal. Now look what we're supposed to do. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Excuse me. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. So we're not to be partakers of those things. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glory God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And that is a question that is posed. So we know that we're going to have trials. It's nothing new. The verse that I started with, verse 12, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. So remember, we will be tried. And we can overcome. But we need to make sure we have that whole armor of God so that we can handle all those things that the devil is throwing at us. And as we look at the world today, there's so much that is coming at us. But stand firm on the truth of God. Be a good witness for Jesus Christ. And don't give up. You may think sometimes you're in fourth, fifth, or sixth place. You press on. You press forward. Finish the race. Fight the good fight. And you will be rewarded, as God has promised. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning service, Lord, we know that the difficulties abound in our world. The challenges, the confusion, and the lies, and all those things that are going on, all the sin that is happening, and we know that, Lord, this is not good for us to be partakers of, and that there are temptations that we deal with, and struggles, and trials. And so, Lord, we know that we need you. And so I call upon you this morning just to indwell each of us with your Holy Spirit, that you would give us the strength and the determination, and the Father, that we would be good witnesses for you, that we would go forth and bring forth fruit. So, Father, we thank you again for each one that has come this morning, and we just trust you will have pierced our hearts this morning, either through word or song. But, Lord, that again, that you would be glorified and we, your people, would be blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you another opportunity for prayer. Okay, before we do that, here is another prayer request. And they're asking for prayers for a family where the husband/father is really struggling with mental health issues, that he would find hope through God, and that God may give him direction, peace, strength, and comfort during this difficult time. Thank you from the family. So, we just talked about physical challenges, mental challenges, and spiritual challenges. And here we have someone that is just going through a mental challenge. And I can personally attest to that a little bit. I went through that. It is a very dark, intense, and for me, it was a very lonely place because I didn't recognize what was going on. I didn't seek help. And finally, when I was probably at the darkest place in my life, with the encouragement of the congregation of my little church in Summerfield and my family, I went and got help. And I'll tell you, that is one of the best things I've ever done in my life. The only thing better I've done in my life really would be accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, marrying the woman I love, and then getting the help I needed. So this family is calling upon you for prayers. And believe me, those prayers work. So with that, I want to really encourage you to lift this family up. And my heart goes out to them, because that's a really hard place. But God can heal. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus? May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Take your blue books and turn to number 148. Great is thy faithfulness. 148.
There is no shadow of turning. morning. I'd just like to highlight a few things out of the bulletin this morning. First, there's a supper fundraiser for Abe and Helen Gertsen. It'll be here on Saturday, the 19th, at 4:30 to 7:30. Abe had an accident that rendered him unable to work for the foreseeable future, and Helen stays home to take care of him, and this fundraiser is to help them financially. So if you're able to help them in that way, they would appreciate it, and also through prayer. And also condolences to Ike and Tina Wall on the passing of Ike's mother, and also condolences to Nettie Wall and family on the sudden passing of husband, father, Jake Wall, who was an usher here in our church. So let's uphold these people in our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. And as far as the message goes, I have nothing more to share with you this morning, but I'd like to bless you with a benediction. Let's bow. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may now go with the peace of the Lord.